Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Have you ever heard the story of the Christmas Eve truce? Heard it? Well, I imagine most of you have lived it on one occasion or another. They were talking about the great truce in the Christmas of 1914, the first year of World War I, on the radio the other night. The governments at the time denied it happened, and the commanders, when they heard about it, they were at a comfortable distance from the water-filled trenches of the Western Front in Europe, ordered that the soldiers return to fighting immediately. Well, the Germans were on one side, and the British and the English and the Americans were on the other. And the Germans loved their Christmas. And in the midst of all of this carnage, they saw no sense in letting the holy night pass without a proper observance. And someone started singing Stille Nacht. And then the English on the other side, they started singing. And the stories vary, but some say that the Germans put up a kind of a sheet saying, "No, you no shoot, we no shoot." And the British responded, of course, in a very gentlemanly and polite fashion, and they made a gentleman's agreement that night. There was no more carnage for the night of Christ's birth. And someone got up a tree, and it was decorated, and they exchanged greetings with each other, and then got down to the business, the sad business first, of burying the dead who had been left in the no man's land, between the trenches of both sides. And then some of them actually exchanged gifts. This started sort of spontaneously, all down the front, for miles and miles. And in some places, the next morning, they played football together. And they spent the day in a quiet way, and certain of them kept this kind of God's truce for almost 2 weeks, but then, sadly, the senseless fighting resumed. Remember, that was the war they said that would make the world safe for democracy. As you hear this story, you can see, can't you, little remnants of Christianity. During the war, they imposed on the world in order to destroy what was left of Christendom. Now, this was not so rare an occurrence, this Christmas Eve truce, I mean. People do it all the time. So you would say, well, it is Christmas. Try to behave yourself. It is Christmas. Put up with so-and-so at the table, won't you? A Christmas Eve truce of a sort, which shows, too, some leavings of religion in daily life in our post-Christian America. The respect, after all, which is due to a holy day, and this is one of the holiest nights of the year for the great feast of Christmas. Who, after all, would be so depraved as to violate the birth of the Prince of Peace by waging war on his enemy? And who would dare break the silence of the Stille Nacht and shatter its peace by raising his voice or clenching a fist? And all of this is yet another example of that vague homage to the Prince of Peace that we still see from time to time. It is a proper and a good sentiment. The danger is that it is only sentimental on the part of people, and that in any case, the war resumes the next day. Our blessed Savior did not come for a day or for a season. This Prince of Peace will not take truce for our answer. Rex Pacificus, we saluted him at the first Vespers, which usher in the feast this afternoon. The peaceful king is magnified over all the kings of the earth. He is, there's more than one story to this effect. One's said to be from the era of the Civil War, and another from the First World War. He is that little baby who crawls between the two lines of soldiers set to charge. And when they see the infant, they can't. They have to lay down their weapons and take care of the baby first. He brings peace. But this child is not interested in peace at any price, and compromise is not in his portfolio. The bargaining table does not attract him, and a negotiated peace he will laugh at to scorn. He alone claims all. His Father created it and gave it to him. As the choir will sing in a moment, Dominus dixit, the Lord said, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. He alone, this sweet little king, won it back by his death, and he alone can make you to be in the elusive number of those men of good will of whom the angels sang at midnight to shepherds. Good will, that is to say, those of God's gracious will towards man, the men whom Almighty God loves so as to share his life with them, his grace. It is useless to resist, you know. He is the king, and as surely as he came at Bethlehem, will he, mind you, not you, judge the living and the dead, and the world by fire. He will come one day as your judge. He will judge those who are sometimes judged so harshly, and he will judge those who arrogate to themselves the right of judgment. He, our good Lord, in the splendor of his sacred humanity, which he assumed to save us, will sit one day as our judge. But today he comes, he so humbly crawls between all of our embattled lines ready for warfare. In his very presence demands it. Surrender. Yes, surrender. You are here, and so is he. Will you settle for an uneasy truce for a day when he offers terms of true peace for an endless day? But remember, the angels did not sing peace on earth, goodwill to men, but peace to men of goodwill. This child does not smile upon, and his angels have no peace for those who deliberately refuse to be of goodwill, either towards Almighty God or God's creatures, their fellow men. Catholics who are indifferent about their religious duties, who are satisfied with a truce on their own terms, maybe once, twice a year, and who live in sin pretty much the rest of the time, they are not of goodwill, and peace is not one of the presents waiting under their tree. The rich of this world, who gain their wealth through cheating and stealing and make their fortunes on the back of the poor, they can never be happy, even though the government has printed and passed over to them billions of dollars to replace that which they have lost in their wretched speculations. And they have plenty of money to buy to satisfy every worldly appetite. But they can never be at peace, and they will never be happy. People who take a cruel pleasure in criticizing and belittling and slandering and calumniating their neighbor, with reason or without reason, cannot ever be truly happy, for they are guilty of a grave injustice, which by its very nature they can never repair. Those who seek their satisfaction in lust, spurning the love of our dear Lord, they can't be happy either, and certainly not those who find their entertainment in the filthiest fashion imaginable. How could they know heaven's peace? They who pay every day the price of hell. But look, the midnight hour draws near. The king approaches. The carols have been sung, and all of the lamps have been lit. The king has been placed in his little crib, and he has come again this midnight hour to save us and to redeem us, to set us free and to make us happy. But this cannot be accomplished in spite of him. And this is why wars will never cease until he reigns and is magnified over all of the kings of the earth. We, who are far from kings, but claim a rather strict rule over our territory, don't we? We must heed his commands and his commandments, and we must follow his example and that of his good mother, our Blessed Lady. We must be of good will. If peace and happiness were possible on any other terms, he was born in a stable. He died on a cross in vain. I wish you, my dear faithful, and friends and foe, I wish you not a truce for a night or a day, but the peace of eternity this night of his blessed birth. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.